This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
A lot of penalty kills for us. Dangerous group. And I think they're very opportunistic. They don't need a whole lot to put in the back of the net. I think that's what happened. I think we had a couple breakdowns defensively where they had some pretty clean looks and they capitalized on them. And that happens on top of the power play goals. It's a tough hill to climb.
Detroit power play elite this year, top three. They score three times. Buffalo had three goals as well, including one from Thompson, but not nearly enough against a Detroit team that takes the season series 3 out of 4. Marty, welcome in. It's Sabres Live, and we're talking a lot about before and after and during the show, obviously, just about the volume of goals against, I think, is the only thing you can really start with today, because we've been down this path a lot, and I'm sure you overanalyze every goal against, and boy, there were a lot of preventable ones again last night.
There was a ton of preventable one, and I think the biggest concern now for me is on the penalty kill, because it's such a game changer to be able to play your game to say, okay, we'll be aggressive. We'll take a penalty. We'll kill it. Right? Mm-hmm. No worries. We'll kill it. Yep. But now you look at last night, not only did Detroit score three goals on the power play, it was three goals that I'm like, what is happening on the ice? Like the Tarasenko, who was it? Kane missed the outside of the net. Wait, I got to go back.
Yeah.
It was.
And he had all the time in the world to just dust just it off it and put it
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Nobody around him. Nobody around him. And it's like, okay, I get it. Right. Maybe you're over aggressive. You're chasing. But if you have somebody that is a goal scorer like Patrick Kane, that's on the goal line for a one-timer, and he hits the outside of the net, and then he picks it up and basically is walking around like guys used to joke in practice. They'd put one hand behind their back and just, skate with, one hand on their stick and grab the puck and put it in the net. That's basically what it was. Mm-hmm. And when I look at it, I get it. Like, Byram went up to pressure a little bit, so power slides over and Zucker comes down. But there just needs to be much better positioning on the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. And so this morning I pulled up some numbers, Duffer, and I was 2 years ago, the penalty killing wasn't good. We talked about it. It was an issue. The Sabres were outscoring their problems because their power play in the first half of the year and the offense generally just was outscoring the issue. That was the penalty kill. But last year, the Sabres were 13th on the penalty kill. They gave up 49 goals, power play goals, to the opposition. They already have given up 47 this year. There's like, they've played three quarters of the year. They're at the same number they were last year. So, but I look at high danger chances. I look at scoring chances, high danger chances. It's not been too bad. So now my other point is, okay, well, you know, save percentage is dropped. Save percentage this year, 26 in the penalty kill. So, you know, you got to make a save, right? I do look at the Patrick Kane goal. I get that Luukkonen stuck in between. Like, that's a simple shot from a higher range. Like, that's a save. And so,
and even the Mo Sider one at the end, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, long range. Like, you know, fight through the screen, find the, you know, the puck, battle through, save one here, save one there. All of a sudden, you're top 15 and save percentage on the PK, and your PK is not costing you games, but is allowing you to stay in the game. I feel like that's where things have dropped off so much this year is, you know, the part that the goalie has to play. Your goalie is your best penalty killer. Well, unfortunately, when the penalty kill goes the other way, often you got to look at that direction as well.
And based on what you said about where the penalty kill was last year, I'll reiterate that they were tied for 11th in goals against also. So it goes
and Luukkonen was a big part of the penalty kill last year.
Of course.
He was really good. And they were like, hey, look at how we saved our bacon, right? Look at how he made saves. Or you're going to give up chances. It's a power play. It's the NHL. You're going to give up chances. You need saves.
And where is Detroit's penalty kill?
Oh, let me get my sheet
again. It's not great, but no one's talking about it because the power play is so good. So again, if we start here by talking about the penalty kill issues that have become very significant here, it would never be moot, but it could be offset by an elite power play. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, Detroit is 32nd. They're dead last on the penalty kill.
Yeah. Under 70%.
And which is historically bad.
If we had had the game last night, I think I would have remembered that doing my homework and circled, hey, last in the league.
Right.
But your power play is performing. Mm-hmm. And look, Detroit is kind of like finding a way. How do we win games? Now it's
not
been
good of late. And that's the thing. They hadn't been scoring. They were super frustrated. They were as vulnerable as they've been under Todd McLellan.
Now,
and that's unfortunate that, you know, Buffalo was down a goal after one, down a goal after the second, have shown that they can come back in the third. And it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. But a big thing, too, is like discipline is so important, right? And you look at Detroit, they are fifth in time shorthanded. So that 70% is not affecting them as much because they don't take as many penalties. Mm-hmm. So they're better disciplined. So, okay, you don't kill off penalties as many times or as high a percentage rate as you would like, but at least you're disciplined. You're not taking as many penalties. It's not hurting you at the end of the day. Sabres are 29 in times shorthanded, and they spend almost 5 minutes killing penalties per game. And I would say that number should be higher just because often they give up goals and you're not killing penalties when you give up a goal a minute in. So when you're 29th in time shorthanded, you take a lot of penalties. And I get it, it goes with your record. Referees are never going to give you the benefit of the doubt. They're always going to call, the call going to go against you. But if you kill penalties, your record would be better. If you had the saves on the penalty kill, your record would be better. That's something that we talk a lot about. What's it going to look next year, game one? Well, your penalty kill better look better next year, game one, because you're going to be, you know, struggling all season to get over that hump.
Two divisional season series in the books. Montreal's power play dominated Buffalo en route to 4-0 sweep. Detroit, pretty good power play and winning three out of the four.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, I've been kind of fixated on this for years. Like, they got to be better in their own division, in their own conference, right?
Yeah.
They have five wins against their division this year. Mm-hmm. The Penguins have five wins in the Metro, and San Jose has four wins against the Pacific. Those are the lowest numbers in head-to-head divisional play.
Yeah.
And look at what it would mean if you flipped them. It's that simple. And I get it. Nothing is simple. So I don't want to phrase it that way or couch it that way. But you know what I'm saying here, right?
Well, this is why I like the divisional side of the playoffs and, you know, putting a little bit, and I wish there was a little bit more of an emphasis on the divisions. And like right now you play three or four games against your divisions, three games against the other. I wish there was a little bit more, because winning in your division and asserting yourself as one of your best team in your division has always been the goal. You and I, Duffer, we grew up in the same era, the Adams division, the Sabres, Boston, Montreal, Hartford, Quebec. Yeah. Like, if you were good in your division, you were like a top team. Like, that's what you had to do first, be good in your division. And I would like the league to maybe just enhance that a little bit. But even though it's not as a, you know, emphasis on the schedule, it's still a big part of, you want to be good in your division, then be good in your conference, and then be good against the other conference. Like, that's the way that things kind of laid out usually.
Do you have a good answer as to why this season has flipped with home and road? I mean, the California sweep right before Thanksgiving, and since then, Buffalo is second worst in the league on the road. They've lost eight in a row away from home. But we had the massive homestand where they won and scored five in a row, or five goals per game. Yeah. And they're on the right side of it now after a tough time getting there. Is there any explanation for this?
I know a lot of people talk about home and road and being a good road team. And I can assure you, when I played, I didn't feel much of a difference being at home or on the road in the way that the games were being played. And obviously you got travel, but look, the travel is so, so good that playing back-to-backs, unless you have the first game at home and the second on the road all the time.
Like Colorado and Minnesota losing time zone on the way the other night. You know, and they got a point out of it, but they didn't look like the Avalanche.
So. Like, we used to play Friday home, Saturday road all the time. So it was normal that maybe the road record was not as good as the home, because there was always the second game of a back-to-back. But now the league looks at this and tries to balance it all out so you don't have, you know, always the second game on the road or always the first game at home, and it gives teams an advantage. I don't, like, I laugh when people are like, oh, this team is, you know, first on the power play on the road this year. It's the same power play. It's just sometimes, a matter of having played against a team that had a bad night or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I don't think the way that NHL is going right now, I don't think there should be a big difference between your home record and your road record. You are what your record tells you you are. And the good teams usually are as good on the road as they are at home. Maybe.
And they break even in back-to-backs as well, which was
exactly.
Look at our division for this team at the start of the off-season. Points of emphasis, back-to-backs was one of them. Yeah. And they unfortunately went the other way with it. They have three wins in all the back-to-backs combined this year.
100%. Look at Florida, 22-10-2 at home, 18-12-1 on the road. It's right. Very similar. Mm-hmm. Toronto is almost identical, 20-11-19-11. Washington, 21-7, 22-7. It's all the same. The one
Kings
thing that's
are an anomaly a little bit with how good they are at home. I mean, they're still sitting, we're in mid-March, and they still only have three regulation losses at home. It's absurd.
Yeah. No, it is pretty absurd. You're 100%. I think the one thing that may affect your home and road record the most is depending on how you handle your goaltending. I played with Henrik Lundqvist. I never played at Madison Square Garden. It was normal. Like, people are paying $300, $500 a ticket to see what? To see the King. I was getting on the road. So Lundqvist was going to have a much better record than me. He was better than me. So the road record was going to get affected a little bit that way, right? Yeah. Tampa is a bit of a weird one this year. They're much better at home than on the road. But I can guarantee you this, Vasilevsky have played most of the home games this year, and whatever they have at backup, Jonas Johansson or whoever, has not played at home. They've played mostly on the road, and now the road record gets affected by that. That is probably the one most important factor in all of this.
So you mentioned goaltending. So again, a while back when we were, you know, looking at them trying to make a run, we asked, you know, how often are we going to see Reimer, you know, in these games outside of back-to-back situations? Now, based on the high goals against and the challenges, like, how would you assess or reassess your plan now that we're in the final 20 games inside of?
Well, I mean, you gotta get UPL out of this rut that he's in. And there's only two ways to do it. Either you keep playing them, and you keep just telling them you're in and work yourself out of it. It's not all on you, but you got to be better. Or two is to, and I think that's probably the approach here over the next.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
10 days? They're like, look, you're going to play maybe one game in the next week. And I want you to practice. And I want you to practice and practice. Because I feel like we haven't, and this is every coach is saying, we don't have a lot of practice time. But when I watch the Sabres either at practice or I feel like there's not been a ton of quality practice moment for Luukkonen to be able to work on the game. It's like, okay, let's just do repetition, repetition, repetition. But unfortunately, repetition when it's not going well can hurt you. So the Sabres have Vegas Saturday, and then next week they have three games. Okay, how about you don't play Vegas, you don't play Boston, and you play Luukkonen next Thursday against Utah. And you say, okay, you're going to have practice day Friday. You can have practice day Sunday, Monday morning skate, Tuesday practice, Wednesday practice, and then you play on Thursday. I could see that being an option for the Sabres to say, hey, let's give Luukkonen a little break to practice. But then after that, you're playing a lot because you still need him to get in the nets and figure it out.
Well, the hard part now, he was coming off a star performance against Edmonton.
Yeah. But, you know? But the star performance against Edmonton was, there was a lot of scrambling. There was a lot, like, look, the Oilers did a lot of posts and a lot of good scoring chances. I still don't think that his game is where it needs to be. Like, and I know it's not where it needs to be. There's a lot of scramble, a lot of chasing, a lot of trying to rely on the athleticism. It's nothing looks easy. Mm-hmm. Nothing looks easy when he's in that right now. And look, we talked to a lot of fans, especially at the arena when we're there for home games. And I've had some that are like, you need to call Levi back up. I've put a cross on that this year. Levi is where he needs to be. Levi needs to be playing in Rochester, needs to be preparing for the playoffs, needs to have a big finish to the season. And really, for those that think that Levi could be a number one next year, put a cross on that too. Levi needs to be either a 20 to 25 game backup in the NHL to learn, or start in the AHL and then make your way back up. Mm-hmm. Look, it's not bad. Dustin Wolf is one of the best stories this year. Dustin Wolf was never thought of as last year, for example, here's the guy that we're going to have as a starting goalie. No, let's be patient. He's a backup. Or 2 years ago, we should have him as a starting goalie. No, he's AHL. That's where he needs to be. Let's not jump the steps here. Everybody has to do the steps. There's a few lucky that don't, that go right from either juniors to the NHL and they're great, or college to the NHL, they're great, mm-hmm. or maybe a short stint in the AHL. But most do junior college, pro, minor leagues, back up, and then they work their way to the to being a starter.
Well, and despite the eras being different and hard to compare, all you needed to reinforce what you just said was Ryan Miller yesterday Ryan on Miller. The show. Like, yeah. I mean, it's very simple.
And it is, you're right, it is different, but it's not that different.
Correct.
It's not that different. Like, I can point you to UC Soros, like, working his way, and then, well, you know what? Pecorino's there. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean that UC Soros wasn't going to be a number one goalie. It was just learn. Be there, play your 20, 25 games, and learn. There's all of these stories around the NHL. They're all there. Just, you know, it's important to get that right.
Well, you mentioned the Amerks last night was another heartbreaker. They've lost five in a row, all of them by one goal, two of them in a shootout, and the last three were two against Laval, heartbreaking fashion, and last night they had an opportunity to be even with Charlotte in the third period, but ultimately fell thanks to an empty netter that turned into the game winner because they had the early goalie pull, and Rochester ended up falling behind 4-2, but then got another goal from Erik Brännström in his Amerks debut. So, you know,
two goals for Brännström.
It was really great. Obviously, the blue line was affected without Zach Metsä due to illness, and we saw Novikov and Komarov together. But Brännström opened the scoring, excellent shot, picked a corner from high slot. And, you know, it was a challenging game. They were still without Roseanne and Dunn, who have been reassigned today and would likely be in the lineup tomorrow when they are home to Providence. But the battle was good. It was, it was not a heavy workload against Levi, but, the Checkers are a good team, and we've seen that time and again. And the opportunity, the biggest opportunity for Rochester was in the third period. They were down a goal. Lukas Rusek got a penalty shot, could have tied the game, waited, hit it off the post from a sharp angle, and ultimately they come up a little
surprised
bit short.
Surprised he even took the shot. Yes, usually he would have looked for a pass.
That's why he waited as long as he did.
He waited, because he was looking for a pass option.
guys were saying last night on the broadcast that Rusek is now the only one that has played in every game for the Amerks this year. And, that's the nature of it. It's good for those who have been striving to climb the ladder and get to the NHL, like Roseanne has a couple of times. It was a nice reward for Josh Dunn to come up. He's a little older on the pro side. But they've also dealt with a lot of injury and more recently illness. So you just have to fight through it. So the typical adversity in the American Hockey League has been very much present for an Amherst team that is still just 3 points behind Laval for first in the division. So
yeah, and look, I mean, again, for me, when you look at Rochester, finishing first in the division or in the league would be incredible. Mm-hmm. But how do you put all the pieces together to have that run in the playoffs? Because I want to see Zach Roseanne have that run in the playoffs. I want to see Levi have that run in the playoffs, kind of like what they did last year and continue to build. Mm-hmm. It is important.
Early exit last year, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did 2 years ago. They had the late push.
Yeah.
Last year was to Syracuse again, right? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Overtime's aplenty, just narrowest of margins. And, you know, it's continued. Honestly, you've watched any and all Amherst Syracuse games, and there's animosity.
I was like that when I played. Some things don't change. And, you know,
it's
that's
cool.
one of
like,
them.
And again, you need those, right?
But the biggest thing is for me is, look, you're going to get, you know, Laval, the Amherst. You got Toronto that's in there. Like, you've got some good teams in your division. It's going to be hard again to get out of your division, but that doesn't matter if you finish first, second. Like, you're going to have the test along the way in your division.
Darren Greger from TSN at the bottom of the hour. Let's quickly get through a few of the notes from the NHL last night. Why don't we start just a wide brush on the Eastern Conference standings and how it looks after the action last night. Obviously, Detroit's win over Buffalo 7-3 puts them feeling good despite having lost six in a row. They are now back to within 2 points of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then to think of tonight, you've got Boston and Ottawa. There's only 5 points between them. The Bruins have won a couple of games post-deadline, and the Rangers are in action tonight as well. But who are the Rangers? Why am I blanking on the Rangers?
The Rangers are
at
the Wild
Minnesota.
Tonight.
They're in Minnesota tonight, yes.
And Blue Jackets are hosting Vegas, and it's
and
like,
Vegas
yeah, there's
is
some
here
big
next
games.
On Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and let's not sleep on New Jersey. They've got the Oilers coming in New Jersey, and New Jersey did pull a huge win against Columbus a couple of nights ago, but it's tight.
The closest in all of it to a playoff spot is now Montreal. Huh. What did you think of the Canadiens last night? Wild game against the Seattle Kraken, in which Brandon Montour has a 4-point game and the OT winner. But Montreal has gone 6-1-2 in their last nine, despite losing 3 of 4 on this most recent Western trip. So they're hanging in, and they're just
one point
behind the Jackets.
Every point is important. And yeah, they got a little sneak attack by Brandon Montour in overtime off the faceoff. You know, Chandler Stephenson pushes it forward, and Montour snuck behind Hudson to get a breakaway. He scores. Montreal was up 4-2 in that game. Montreal got the insurance goal early in the third. Slafkovský, which, by the way, like, everybody says Slafkovský was posing after his goal. Like, look at me. I think he was 100% sure that was a high stick. They ended up counting the goal. And Duffer, you heard me. How many times have I said, and I tell our producer Joe all the time, and Jeff has heard me too, when it's a high stick challenge, don't run the replay forward from the shot to the deflection to the goal. Run it backward from the puck in the net, reverse, boom. Where did it hit the stick? Right there. Because most deflections will go from high to low. And it looks like your stick's really high, but when the time is done and you touch the puck, it's lower than you think. Mm-hmm. Run it backwards. I actually did that on my mouse, on my computer screen. I ran it backwards, and I was like, ooh, this is going to be a good goal. But it looks awful, but it was a good goal. So Slafkovský, he has 6 goals in his last 10. Yeah. He's doing what he did last year. Last year, he had 16 goals in his last
shot looks really good again.
Is power.
Yeah.
So that top line with Montreal is still good. Line A comes back from sickness, gets a power play goal. But every point's important, and Seattle snuck that one out.
And how about Utah?
Utah Hockey Club are right there. And, yeah, it's look. They beat Anaheim. It was a big game, but they didn't just beat Anaheim 3-2. Like, their shots were almost 2-1. They were dominant, and right now they find themselves 2 points back of Calgary and Vancouver. Now,
how about that game?
Well, that's the problem. Utah is looking at, well, we gave everything we had, and then they had to go play a 3-point game because it went to a shootout, and it looked like Calgary was going to win. Huberdeau, great season this year. He scored 27 goals the last 2 years. He's got 24 this year.
And scored in the shootout.
And scored in the shootout, like, to start to, that was to extend it, right? Because it was Elias Pettersson that came in and scored the first goal in the shootout. Huberdeau extended it just to see Connor Garland win it later. Well, Vancouver got Quinn Hughes back, Duffer. And look, the record was actually not bad without Quinn Hughes, but it wasn't great, and they didn't play well. Quinn Hughes played 30 minutes out of 65, played 3.5 minutes in overtime, and he got targeted by Calgary. I mean, everybody, and Rasmus Anderson went after him, Rand Lomberg went after him. They all went after Quinn Hughes, and he had the smile on his face, and he's like, watch me. And he's not even 100%. And he was unreal last night.
Connor Garland's at almost 43% in his career on shootouts. He has...
you mean Jeff Sanderson? Again, when he scored on the shootout goal yesterday, and the angle is like he comes around the board by the penalty bench, and you look at him, he's like so energetic, right? But he reminds me of Jeff Sanderson.
All right. Darren Dreger is coming up next. We do want to remind you, next game, home game for Buffalo, it's coming up on Saturday. And then they have a 4-game road trip after that. And you might be able to guess that based on the calendar, it's going to be a St. Paddy's Day celebration presented by Topps Friendly Markets, Sabres and Golden Knights. It's an early start on Saturday, 12:30, which means we're on the air at noon on MSG. There will be special giveaways, games in the concourse, and of course, we're all celebrating one of Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Sabres.com/tickets to get yours today. We'll see you at the rink, and we'll see you after this with Darren Dreger from TSN.